This season of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by BEI Real Estate. For over 65 years, BEI has been part of this community, helping local businesses find their place to thrive. They understand what makes Batavia special, offer flexible solutions, and actively give back. Visit their website, BEICRE.com, and find out how BEI can help you reach your real estate goals. Or call them directly at 630-879-3680. This episode of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by Bulldog Plumbing Incorporated. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit their website in the show notes or give them a call at 630-313-9109.
Sure, you get the grumpy customer every once in a while. My mom always says, they're just hungry. Mm-hmm. Just give them a minute. They're just hungry. And most of the time she's right.
Hey everybody, I'm Richard Clark and this is Area Code Batavia, a podcast about what it means to belong in Batavia, Illinois. For this week's episode, I spoke to Juliana Cancello, one half of the mother-daughter team behind Bocaditos, a cafe serving homemade Argentinian food.
So your mom is in Argentina right now?
Yes, in our hometown. I say our, but I only lived there for a couple of years because I was born here. My dad is a scientist at Fermilab, and he got invited to come work at Fermilab in the 80s, 88, and I was born here. Uh-huh. And then we went back, and then in 96, we got invited to come back again, and 2 years turned into 20-odd, we're going on 27 years. 20. So I went to Batavia schools from sixth grade until I graduated in 08.
Bocaditos is located in the Newton House, right on the intersection of Wilson Street and Batavia Avenue. That's a location that's been a lot of different things to different people.
The Newton House felt like a really, really good fit. Mm-hmm. This building has been many things since the Newton family owned it. It was the Batavia Public Library for a little while, okay. And we're sitting in what used to be the children's section. So we sometimes get older folks who come in and say, oh, I used to sit over here and Miss So-and-so would read stories during story time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so there's a lot of history still imbibed in this space.
Now, Juliana and her mom, Sylvia Sanchez, have made the space their own. Not so much by renovating the space, though they have done that, but by welcoming in an entirely new group of people.
I am not as tied to spaces, I think, as my mom is. I definitely always get that feeling of, you know, home is where the people are. Mm-hmm. It always feels like home when people come in and say, I feel like I'm in your home. I feel like this is like a house. I feel like I could stay here. It's so homey and it's so welcoming. Yeah. And all of that comes from my mom because she's the one who picked out everything in here. The lamps, the paint color, the furniture. We've thrifted some of it and bought it at antique shops. And this table over here actually was from their apartment. So that to me is, I think, more the definition of what this place means to me.
I've always been fascinated by how different types of people can change a space. Some people get defensive when they're faced with this idea. But for me, there's an opportunity that comes with a different group of people starting to take ownership of a space. I wanted to talk to Juliana about exactly this opportunity and about the hard work of welcoming, even when those you're welcoming may not be as accommodating to you as you are of them.
You may or may not remember this because, like, mm-hmm. you get a lot of patrons, but I came in, like, last week just to check things out, and I had the most... I don't know about most representative, but I had a representative experience of some of the things you just mentioned, which is like, there were like two ladies trying on stuff right next to me because I was sitting at that table.
Yes.
And I was like, what am I supposed to do in this? Should I move? And like, I don't know. But it was funny because they were like asking me my opinions on like different fits and things. And I was like, this is kind of awesome.
I'm glad because I remember those patrons and I had the opposite experience. And I'm thankful that the language barrier kept you from picking up some cues, I think.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
They were not very kind.
They were mad at me for not moving. Is that what you're saying?
No. They were very judgmental.
I see.
Of me, I think.
Oh, man. Were they Argentinian? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that happens sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we get asked frequently if we're happy when people from Argentina come in. And I'm more so trepidatious because you never know if they're going to be ecstatic that you are here and you exist, or if they're just going to say, you know, my grandma makes them better. And uh-huh. to which I say, yeah. so did mine, yes. but I would have to dig her up. And she's no longer with us. So you either...
Thanks for bringing it up.
Right?
Yeah.
So you either eat my empanadas or you're going to have to go home and make your own.
Oh, that's so funny.
So it's fun. It is fun.
I sort of get this impulse, though, because I'm from the South and like Southeast Alabama.
Okay.
And anytime there's a barbecue place... I'm like, or something yes. like Southern food or anything yes. up here. I'm like, it's but, fine. I'm happy this exists and stuff, but like, this is bad.
Yes.
And if you're listening to this and you're like aware of a place, it's not that one. It's a different one.
But your Southern hospitality and manners probably keep you from telling the owner directly that you didn't love it.
Yes, right. 100%. That's yes, difference. That's right. Yes. That is a really interesting dynamic of like having
it
to
is.
Literally, you don't get it on a Google review. You get it right to your face, which I yes. guess is better in some ways.
You know, it works with my personality. I worked in corporate America for a while, okay. and my personality is not cut out for that. I, for a very long time, thought that I was interested in climbing the corporate ladder and uh-huh. having that kind of cutthroat behavior professionally. And I think, no, I just liked wearing high heels and cool outfits, which I can still do. And
yeah.
the feedback that I give and receive here is much more immediate and honest uh-huh. rather than couched in buzzwords. So that's another great thing about owning my own business is
I do what you want.
I speak the way I truly feel. And I, like I tell my husband, I have always chosen my words very carefully. I don't mince words, and I uh-huh. really think about what I say before I say it. And I can do that here.
Yeah.
A lot of what we do is just food and connecting through food, but we end up having really important conversations with people who feel welcome to share whatever's in their heart. It's not mm-hmm. like we're sitting there asking for things, but you know, it happens. We tend to have really interesting conversations, whether it be about politics and or social issues. I mean, you know, we've got our pride flag up and actual physical representations of who we are and what yeah. we believe in.
Yeah.
But we try to make sure that via the conversations that regardless of how public facing we might be
mm-hmm.
and you know, people do recognize me around town, that the symbols are not virtual signaling. We do genuinely believe this and
what's the difference between the virtue signaling and what you're doing? Like what concretely, what does that mean?
I hope that through conversation, people know that I'm not displaying anything or saying anything because I'm beholden to anyone but myself.
Uh-huh.
If I'm yeah. beholden to anyone, it's my mom because yeah. I yeah. don't ever want her to be disappointed in me. And I don't think she will be. She's the one, she and my dad are the ones who imbibed these qualities in us.
You moved here from Argentina?
Yes. From the province of Buenos Aires. I mean, it's a long country. It's big. It covers a lot of like a lot of land, a lot of the continent. It's not a massive population. I think the population's somewhere in the realm of 25 million people. But okay. Buenos Aires is the most, you know, densely populated part. It's the capital. It has the capital of the country, and then it's, you know, kind of the nexus of business, politics, all
okay.
that.
And you said you moved here when you were 6.
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember the difference? Do you remember how it felt
to move? Thankfully, I think my brain shut down the trauma of being 6 years old and having to learn a new language and all that. So yeah. I don't remember too much from the early years, but the distance was always felt. You know, we moved in the age of kind of the cusp of the internet, pre-internet. So okay. we were yep. writing letters to my aunt and grandma, which my aunt still has.
Huh.
And making once a week phone calls using calling cards.
Wow.
If you remember those, you had yeah, to call yeah. and top it up, and it was about $1 a minute. So we had just a couple minutes to talk. And when my parents first came in the 80s, they would call my grandpa once a week
mm-hmm.
and then he would call everyone else and disseminate the news because it was so expensive. It was more than $1 a minute. And my parents were living on student salaries.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like something you don't think about as part of the immigrant experience anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking back on it, it is amazing to see the things that we were able to continue to do here
yeah.
despite the distance because of that. I remember the first, because we would go back for the holidays as much as possible. And the first time that we went and came back with MSN Messenger usernames.
Yeah.
Because they used MSN in South America, whereas here we were all using AOL.
Uh-huh.
But the ability to be able to talk to our friends and our cousins,
yeah,
despite the time difference, despite the distance. And that was definitely the best way to keep our language skills up, reading and writing in Spanish, which, again, we were doing it at home. But you do also have that element of my sister and I are children of immigrants and we want to fit in and assimilate as much as possible here.
Yeah.
And so we weren't really absorbing day-to-day culture from South America until we had that kind of connection and that ability to do. And then, you know, you want to be part of those conversations that your cousins and your friends are having. So
yeah,
we start listening to the music that they're listening to and the movies that they're watching and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
All the, you know, like even just like the gossip and the celebrity culture.
Yeah.
All those things that help reinforce those connections.
Did you go from corporate right into this? Was this sort of your exit from corporate life?
Yeah, I kept on my office job while we opened the shop. So it took a while, maybe 2 more years. I would go help my mom during my lunch break and then after work. And then during the pandemic, I was working remotely. So I would set up my office in the shop because we couldn't have customers. We would take orders to the door. So I'd sit there on calls and in meetings and do my work. And then, help my mom during my lunch break and help afterwards. And we made it work.
So that's a lot of
And I enjoyed the things that I did. In one job in particular, I had a really, really terrible boss.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through a merger and acquisition, all that. So really tumultuous time. And I realized I wasn't gonna be able to change the system from within.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi'd it. And so then I left. And I got another job and then eventually this. But the biggest realization was if I'm not working for myself, I cannot have faith in the system or the organization as a whole, putting someone in power to help me raise me to that position that I want to be. There was no mentorship. There was nothing but backstabbing.
Huh.
And the fear of falling into a similar system and a system that is not rewarding your devotion to the corporation.
Right, right.
And I say that as a corporation because we are an S Corp.
Yeah.
But we do reward ourselves.
Yeah.
We're the officers.
Yeah.
If we bring on any more officers, we hope to continue to adhere to those values.
Yeah. Do you have people who work for you right now?
We have a couple employees, yeah.
Okay.
Part timers.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. You work for your mom or with your mom? Which would you say?
The better description is she's the idea person and I'm the one who helps execute those or eliminate the ideas that are very pie in the sky.
Uh-huh.
My mom is a dreamer.
Yeah.
So that's more so it's her throwing things out, me grabbing the curveballs that I feel like will work.
Yeah.
And then working through them.
Yeah.
That's where we have the most struggles is her throwing out outlandish ideas, which I say, you need to bring that back to earth a little bit. And we need to find an equitable, financially, fiscally sound way of doing this.
Yeah.
Because if I had all the money in the world, yes, we would do X, Y, Z, but you could bring it back down to earth. Tell me in steps how you feel we would achieve this.
Yeah. I'm laughing because I'm familiar with this dynamic from me and my wife Jennifer's interactions. I'm your mom in this scenario.
So you feel me? Those are more so the points of tension. As far as how we work really well here.
Yeah.
We don't really have disagreements.
Yeah, it's straightforward.
With the shop. Yeah, and we're in such a pattern. We know what needs to be done, how it needs to be done. We have recipes, we have routines, we have structure to this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more so forward-thinking strategies. What do we do? What do we take on? And it can be as simple as, do we start designing our own custom packaging or do we think about the environmental aspects and instead just use as many recyclable, renewable or reusable containers instead?
You know,
what's the ecological impact of having pink or blue takeout boxes rather than the recycled brown ones and so on and so forth? Things like that.
A lot of interesting little decisions.
Tiny decisions that add up.
Tell me about the first time you felt that you belonged in Batavia.
Oh, gosh. As a person?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it creeps up on you.
Because
I definitely spent my teenage years wanting to get out.
Yep.
And that's what we did, right? And that was kind of the cool thing to do was just talk about how you were going to leave this town and never look back. Yeah. And then not only did I come back and establish a business here and have a kid, but I married a fourth generation Batavian. So I did it all wrong.
And then you woke up one day and said, I guess I like this place.
I guess so. Yeah, I don't have a Bulldogs tattoo yet, but so I think it definitely grows on you. And I think that you either, you embrace it and want to be part of a change, of a forward thinking change of bettering the town, or you just let it kind of wash over you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's the part that motivates me, is to make this town as welcoming, as accepting, as interesting as possible for my kid, and to avoid her hating that her parents decided to raise her here.
Can you describe the moment when you and your mom decided to start Bocaditos, decided to create this?
It was not a moment. It okay. was moments. Uh-huh. Because my mom is persistent with her ideas. So she,
yeah.
And she would just randomly sit there and say, you know what? I really feel like this would work. I really feel like we could get Batavians to think to themselves, I'm craving an empanada today. Mm-hmm. And she just kept saying, I feel like this would work. I feel like this, I think this is a good idea. And I would say, whose idea? Who's going to do this? Go ahead, do it then.
Yeah.
You have this idea, do it,
yeah.
Go for it. And,
yeah.
And at whatever point she finally convinced me, I don't know if she sent me enough, you know, stories on Instagram or articles or what have you, mm-hmm. but when she finally convinced me that this could be a lucrative, if not a break even at bare minimum mm-hmm. idea, we started looking at spaces and then, you know, just kind of dove into it.
I am curious, like when she was talking about, like, I love this idea of like, we can get Batavia mm-hmm. to go, I'm craving an empanada today. Did that feel like a realistic
no.
idea?
No.
Why?
That's a great question. I didn't think that people would be accepting.
Okay.
But that is a projection of my own insecurities huh. about how people would embrace or not my culture.
Uh-huh.
For sure. People were much more open.
But it's based on something real, isn't it? Maybe? Is it not?
Sure. Based on microaggressions and outright racism that we faced. Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But you sort of like challenged that. In a way.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you challenged it by creating Bocaditos.
Yeah.
Was there a point where you said to yourself, like, I guess the question I'm asking was starting, I'm going to put it this way.
Yeah.
Because it's just more fun. Was starting Bocaditos an act of resistance, or was it an answer to what you felt was a market to something?
Can I answer the question? Are you a Star Wars fan?
I wouldn't say a fan, but I'm familiar with Star Wars. I've seen a lot.
Yeah, we're probably rebel fighters for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I think yes. In being women and being Hispanic women uh-huh. and opening a very openly Hispanic space, yes. Yeah, those are acts of resistance. Yeah.
Is that
small ones?
Yeah. Does that get? It feels to me like it would get tiring.
I think in the beginning when okay. we felt like we had something to prove, but
yeah.
now
yeah.
I don't have anything to prove. You need to prove to me that I should welcome you into my space.
Okay.
That yeah. I've created to welcome everybody, but yeah. you know, you have to be accepting.
Are you pleasantly surprised more often than not or no?
I like to live my life thinking that there is more light than darkness in the world.
Mm-hmm.
100%. So mm-hmm. I think that, 99% of our interactions are positive.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Bodes well for Batavia, I hope.
Yes. Yes.
I hope.
And you know, you get the grumpy customer every once in a while. My mom yeah. always says, they're just hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Just give them a minute. They're just hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time she's right.
That is so funny. Like, yeah. Hangry people yeah. walk into restaurants.
Yeah.
That makes total sense.
It's definitely a motto in our kitchen. If someone has a, you know, 'cause here, it's mostly counter service. You order at the counter first and then we bring you your food. So most of the time, you know, someone will take care of someone at the counter and turn around in the back of the kitchen and say, okay, they've ordered this and this, and then kind of give a look, and the other person will respond, they're just hungry.
They're yeah. Just oh man. That is so deep. I'm like taking a minute to think about that, because it's better than kill them with kindness. It's better than that.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like there's always a story behind
yes.
what makes people, and it's not that like,
Yes.
The things you're talking about, racism, microaggressions, yeah. doesn't exist, but it is a thing where there is insecurity
yeah.
and frustration and hungriness.
Yeah. I read a quote, Amy Sedaris put together a list of like five things you should always keep in mind for the New Yorker or something like that. And one of the things was always assume that the person that you're talking to is in mourning. And that was such a huge perspective shift because it's not they're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
It is mourning is such a deeper loss and feeling, and it can be fleeting or you can sit in it for a day or a week or years at a time. And that was a big, that one has stuck with me for a long time.
My version of it is everyone, you know, is fighting a hard battle.
Exactly.
I think about that a lot.
Yeah.
So
if we can warm someone's heart with a cup of coffee or an empanada.
Yeah.
Just for a little bit.
That's great.
Yeah.
This episode of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by Bulldog Plumbing Incorporated. If you live in the Fox Valley, especially Batavia, you know the problems that hard water can cause. Scaly dishes, dull hair, we've had a bunch of issues with our appliances, and it became a problem. We had to address it. That's where Bulldog Plumbing comes in. They're a family-owned business who understands specifically our local water issues. We actually used them to check out some of the issues we were having in our home. They came in, they looked around, and they gave us sort of an honest appraisal of what we could do, what we experienced. We experienced no pressure from them to do something we didn't want to do. So we had a really good experience with them. And Douglas and Jamie Sam pride themselves on supporting the local community through their local business. That's the whole reason they're supporting Area Code Batavia. So if you're experiencing issues with hard water and you want to address that, call Bulldog Plumbing today for your free water analysis and personalized solution. Call them at 630-313-9109.
Was there a moment when you questioned everything?
You know, the days where only two people come in when you're here for 6.5 hours. Yeah, those are the days where you're like, what am I doing? Should I just sell all my belongings and buy a one-way ticket somewhere? I think I was most desperate our first weekend that we opened. Huh. It was so overwhelming at the old shop.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, all right, we tried this experiment. I'm done. Because I thought there's no way I can do this.
Mm.
Granted, at that point, I was working my office job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was working there Monday to Friday. And then I was at the restaurant Monday to Sunday. Okay. So it was just the two of us. It was way too much. We ended up modifying our hours. We found what worked. We decided to close on Sundays to have that time with family. So I think that those moments of despair and then how you handle them is what's going to make or break you for sure, for sure. And I think that, and I always caveat this, and now we're in a little bit of a different situation, thankfully, but for a very, very long time, my dad and my husband continued to be main breadwinners. So we were always financially stable. We never got into a financial hole with our savings or anything like that. We were very fiscally responsible when we opened the first and now the second shop. So we were never worried about how are we getting home and feeding our families or keeping the lights on.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's huge.
Yeah.
That's not to say we've been incredibly successful. You know, we've had bank loans that we have to repay. We did a construction project and then about a year later did another one. We started paying ourselves last year.
Okay.
And not a massive amount either.
Yeah.
I think I've finally made back what I invested the first time.
Okay.
Or I've taken out, you know.
Yeah.
The feeling that lasts longer is how we dealt with the despair rather than wallowing in it.
Got it.
And that's only something you can do if you have someone who will pull you out of that hole.
Yeah.
Even if you're in that hole together.
Yeah.
Because not everyone can work with their family, but thankfully I can work with my mom. I wouldn't do this with my husband.
Why not?
I would kill him day one.
Yeah.
I love him very much, but he stays the hell out of my kitchen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the most obvious answer to this question. I'm going to ask it anyway. Let's hear it. Was there someone who inspires you in what you do?
Yeah. Oh, it's my mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. When
she's been gone 3 weeks
uh-huh.
and everyone keeps asking me, where is she and when she's coming back?
Yeah.
And I don't have a shred of jealousy or anger towards that. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I know, I can't wait for her to come back. And then I will leave for a month.
How is her presence felt? Like, 'cause I admittedly have not been here a lot.
Right. And you didn't get to meet her last week.
Yes. So like, how does that?
She's a ray of sunshine.
Okay.
She was a kindergarten teacher for her whole life mm-hmm. until we opened the shop. And I think that's my best way to describe her, is that she's still a teacher of young children at heart.
Oh,
and she, all of her interactions are that way. Teachable moments, embracing people, meeting them where they are.
Yeah.
Big feelings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, big feelings, small people. Well, now big feelings, big people.
Yeah.
We don't change. We just get older.
Yeah.
And that drive to share her life and her experiences and her food with people.
Yeah.
She asks every single person who comes in here, how did you hear about us? She doesn't say, how did you hear? She says, what made you come in today?
Huh.
And that's so much more impactful than, did you pick up your phone and Google us? No.
Yeah.
What drove you? What made you think, I need an empanada today?
I love that. Yeah.
It's huge.
And what are the answers normally?
Most people say, you know, I've had empanadas before and I just was in my head today. And so yeah. I Googled, there's no way that there are gonna be empanadas. And I literally put in empanadas near me, and then you popped up, and then you were here, and then I looked at everything else. And some people, especially, you know, the Latin community, it's more so, it's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just people, you know, we have this gas and service station behind us. They're getting their car fixed. They need a cup of coffee. They end up having other things.
Yeah.
And we love the owners over there. I'm sure they send people over. It is pretty across the board. But what surprises us every time is when someone says, my mom's wish came true. People literally sit mm-hmm. there and search. They have a craving for empanadas, and they search for it, and they find us.
Beautiful.
Blows our minds every single time.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
What has owning a business in Batavia taught you about yourself?
I learned to pick battles with the city officials, with contractors, with things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I learned just how convoluted things can be, and how maybe corners will be or have been cut for other people, especially people who don't look like me, and then try to work around that. It's taught me patience. No, because I didn't gain the patience, just that patience will be expected.
I see.
Timelines will be extended far beyond my limits of my sanity. And again, a lot of that comes with the understanding that city official, that whoever is in charge or in a position of power, mm-hmm. they're under their own constraints, mm-hmm. legal or whatnot, but it is difficult.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. Cause see, I wasn't cut out for the corporate world. I might not be cut out for this either.
For this being what?
For business ownership, construction.
Do you really think that's true? Is there a possibility you're not cut out for what you're doing right now?
What we're talking about? I think I'm cut out for traveling and reading books.
Maybe none of us should be doing work at all.
Maybe you shouldn't be doing work.
Yeah, that's fair.
The only thing I have confidence in is my ability to consume books and good food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Relatable. I think a lot of our listeners will relate to that. What is it about Bocadillos that could only be done in Batavia?
That's a good question. We picked Batavia because of our you know, physical ties to it. And mm-hmm. We wanted to stand out. So in terms of what's in the surrounding areas, Geneva and St. Charles have so many restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And we just felt like, well, one, we wouldn't afford the rent. And two, that we would just blend in. There were too many options, and we wouldn't stand out as well. Same with Aurora, and especially with the heavy Hispanic population in Aurora, we didn't think that would be different enough to stand out. And then the fact that we wanted to be part of the revitalization of the downtown. You know, remember we opened in 2018, 2019, when there was a big turnover in downtown Batavia. The tiny shops were about to open. What's now the GOAT was being remodeled. We opened maybe 2 months, 3 months before they did. There was a lot going on at that time. And then by our second summer, again, the tiny shops, the first year of those shops, they had all moved into brick and mortar locations. And so there was that huge wave of new business in Batavia.
Yeah.
And that was really exciting to be a part of it. Those things definitely kind of gradually happen, and all those things kind of happened independently, but at the same time, independent of each other, but at the same time. So that was definitely a big motivator. And it, going back to that concept of, you know, I could either continue to complain about the city that I grew up in or embrace it and be part of that change. So that's definitely why we picked Batavia and what makes us stand out. The part that works, I think, right now, this physical space with the patio, the accessibility, that this ramp was huge. Being able to do that and to be able to provide that access, the bathrooms, the seating, all that was really important. And then what we specifically do here, just like I say, I don't make your grandmother's empanadas. I make my grandmother's empanadas. Mm-hmm. I make the food that I grew up eating the way we make it.
Yeah.
Down to, you know, the beef empanadas that we make here, they're done a very specific way that's mostly eaten in Buenos Aires. If you go up north or down south in Argentina, they're going to be made completely differently. And restaurants in Argentina are going to offer a wide variety of beef empanadas because everyone likes them differently.
Huh.
So we are making very specific food, even within our culture.
Right. It's interesting to me that like a lot of that answer added up to sort of Batavia as a place we can make change.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's been kind of an ethos of this town, for sure.
The town in general.
Yeah.
You're seeing it from other business owners. And
yes,
stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. It's so amazing too how many, this I feel like is a much more recent aspect or phenomenon of the town, is how many of the businesses are owned by women.
Uh-huh.
It's very cool. It's powerful. It's notable and visible. And I think that has been part of that change too. These strong women who have come in and staked out their spaces and really built things.
And owned their role as business leaders. And,
yes. Yeah. Yes. That's something that's really, really big in Batavia as well. We hear this a lot. You go to a business in a different town for the business. In Batavia, you go to the business to see the business owner.
Interesting. I love that.
We hear it often. We've really realized that that's true.
Yeah.
But it's very evident. Again, people come in here and they order the food and then say, how's your mom doing? Where's your mom?
Yeah. So to you, what does it mean to belong in Batavia?
I think that moving around this town with a sense of peace, just peace and comfort, right? Anything beyond that ties you to physical places or events or participation in certain circles that you don't necessarily need to or might want to, you know. There's always that age-old question of that I got from my mother-in-law, their friends, and because remember, they've been in this town for four generations, not five with Lucy. People don't consider you, in quotes, a Batavian unless unless you went to high school here, unless you went to middle school. How far back do you move that needle, and does it matter, and why does it matter?
Right. It's always arbitrary. The answer is always arbitrary. Yeah.
Right. And so taking away all of that, you know, it doesn't matter how many football games you attend. I think it's more so, do you feel comfort being here? Do you feel accepted? Do you feel welcome? Do you feel like you have or you can settle roots here? And is this a place where you want your loved ones to experience, to be here as well?
Yeah. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How long have you felt that?
Probably when we moved back here.
Okay.
When Danny and I bought our house, that was 2014 or 15.
You moved back here from where?
From the city. Danny and I lived in the city for a while.
Okay, got it.
And then we went through that. We worked at the same company, and we had that merger, and our offices got moved from the city to Oak Brook.
Okay.
So we were reverse commuting, and it was taking longer than living here and commuting to Oak Brook. So we bought a house here.
Got it. Cool.
Our parents were here. They still are. So
yeah,
it made more sense.
It feels like a lot of people, I don't know. Yes. I really only talked to Annie from Hearth and Hammer, and she had the same experience where she goes to Chicago. She comes back. She feels at home.
It's so cool now that you mentioned Annie. Annie and Andy and I all went to, and my husband went to high school together.
Oh, nice.
And it's very cool to see all the people that we graduated with or around that whole peer group have businesses in Batavia,
running
in Batavia.
The town now.
We are. my plumber and I went to high school together. We were friends. I'm very, very happy that other people, not just myself, decided, maybe they left, they came back, decided to have their families here, whatever their families look like, whatever their jobs look like, but and then just have this community, have this kinship that we all share.
Yeah.
It's really special.
Presence matters. Who is present matters. And every day we make choices as individuals and as a community that affect who is present among us. And here's the thing, it's not just the choices about who is allowed that matter. It's the choices about who we actively welcome and encourage to be present that really matter. Nobody wants to be tolerated. No one wants to have to guess or assume that they're welcome. That's not really how it works. To really feel welcome, you have to be told and shown that you're welcome. And one way to do that is with food. With Bocadillos, Juliana and Sylvia have created a place in Batavia where they feel welcome, without question. But maybe more importantly, they're working to actively welcome those who might look different than the typical Batavian. Because no matter what the place is, if it manages to make all people feel like they truly belong, that's what it means to make a welcoming place. Thanks for listening to Area Code Batavia. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. If you enjoy this podcast, why not subscribe to our newsletter? Just click the link in the show notes and put in your email address. Not only will we let you know whenever there's a new episode of Area Code Batavia available, but each issue also brings you 5 concrete ways to experience a deeper sense of belonging in the community of Batavia, Illinois. Most importantly, if you know someone who would love to hear this podcast, please share it with them. Word of mouth is the best way to grow this community and help more people feel like they belong in Batavia, Illinois. Area Code Batavia is produced by Area Code Audio. It's hosted and produced by me, Richard Clark, with additional production help from Jennifer Clark.